Amen. Brother Richard, these mics sound fine. Brother, could you turn this piano and this monitor right up here just a little bit? Amen. Just this piano, these mics are good. Key of A, brothers. More than security, more than success. If I should choose to own one thing, I'll take Jesus or the rest. For if I should attain the goal, gain this world and all it holds, then if I should lose my soul, I have lost it all. Oh, for above all else, I must be saved. Oh, for above all else, I must be saved. Whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. Above all else, I must be saved. Even though the souls of those that I love seem so dear, more than others, I've got to make my own salvation sure. For if to others I have shown the way, then I become just a castaway. It's a price I can't afford to pay. My soul is worth it all. Oh, for above all else, oh, sing it with me, I must be saved. Oh, for above all else, I must be saved. Oh, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. Above all else, oh, I must be saved. Oh, whatever, Lord, you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. Above all else, I must be saved. Oh, lift your hands and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Oh, come on. Tell the Lord, I want to make it through your help tonight. Thank you. all else, I must be saved. All y'all ain't hearing what we're singing about tonight. Above all else, I must be saved. So, Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. Above all else, I must be saved. Oh, lift your hands one more time and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My prayer tonight, is it yours? When it's all said and done, and this life is over, won't matter how much money you've got in the bank, won't matter how famous you are, won't matter who knows you, only one thing is going to matter, and that's if you know Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. So looking forward to the Lord helping us here tonight in this service. How many is going to help me? You know, sometimes we have a bad habit if the preacher's not, hey man, maybe, you know, we're preaching the Holy Ghost, and we've already got the, well, I've already got it, whatever. But you know what? If you're here tonight, I need you to help me. There's no greater service or no greater altar call than when the church gets together in unity and begins to reach. Is that right, Brother Corey? As an evangelist, the difference in success or failure so many times depends on whether or not the church pulls with you. Amen. So I ask you to help me tonight and to pull with me and to pray with me. Amen. That the Lord would help us in this service here tonight. Going to be reading from the book of Numbers. I said the book of Numbers, amen. Looking for God to help us in this service tonight. We'll also be reading from 2 Samuel. Now, I'm going to give a little disclaimer here before I preach tonight. I do that every now and then. We're going to be reading some scripture here, and a lot of people would just say, well, just leave it alone. Well, I would if that's what I felt God wanted me to do, but there's a message here. And in this portion of scripture, this Bible speaks of this word, ass. For those of you that may not know about much about the Bible, it is speaking of a donkey or a mule. And, you know, I mean, I get tickled at things. I'm not here to preach to you. I've never got tickled at a word or something, but I want you to keep your minds on God. Is that okay? I want you to hear the message tonight and not this one word. Amen. But when for those of you who may not have never been in church, that's what this word means. It's a donkey or a mule or a combination. Again, a farmer might break it down better for you, but in simple terms, we're going to look at it tonight as a mule. Amen. The Bible said, verse number 22 of chapter number 22, chapter 22, verse 22, the book of Numbers. Balaam is doing something that God does not want him to do. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way. Went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself in the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. The ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden? Ever since I was thine unto this day, was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Let's read a portion out of Samuel here. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 18 tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 18. Again, we find another young man in rebellion. Verse number 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 18. Are you listening to me tonight? Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. Then, verse 14, then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. He took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Lord, help me to preach tonight. God, I've prayed and asked you for your anointing, for wisdom. God, now I need, Lord, you to help me. Please, dear God, I recognize that I am and can do nothing without you tonight. Speak to every heart in this place. Speak to every life, man, woman, boy, and girl, saved or lost or in between. God, please anoint us. And most of all, my heart's desire is for a great altar call tonight. Please speak to me and through me, dear God, I pray. Move in this service, Lord. God, I'll not fail to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. 2 stories tonight out of the Word of God. One of them out of the book of Numbers and one of them out of the book of 2 Samuel. Both stories have a lot of similarities. Both men are in rebellion. One is rebelling against what God has told him. And you know, someone that might know the life of Balaam might say, well, God told him to go. Yeah, but God told him to go after he kept pestering him about it. And God said, go ahead. Get what's coming to you. It was not his permission. It was just go ahead. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. But you're going to get what's coming to you. And then we have another man by the name of Absalom. And he is a young king. He is a young man that is a king's son. And he has rebelled against his father and is trying to steal the kingdom from his father. And it looks like everything's going great for him. He's got soldiers. He's got men behind him. He's planning a revolt and a rebellion, and everything is just going well. And all of a sudden the tide begins to turn and things are not looking good for him anymore. And all of a sudden in the middle of it, things go sour. And he's running away and he's riding upon this mule. And the Bible said that his hair caught in the boughs of a thick oak. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Amen. But what I want to preach to you tonight is that both of these men rode on what I'm going to call a mule. And again, if you're a farmer here, you might break it down. There's a difference between this, what we would call an ass in the Bible, and a mule. But for the sake of the message, we're going to call it a mule tonight. And both men rode upon mules. And what is very peculiar about these stories is that the outcome and what determined whether either of these men lived or died was the mule that they rode on. And if the Lord would stand by me tonight, I'm going to preach for a few minutes on a tale of two mules. A tale of two mules. A story of two mules. As I look at this today, I see, first of all, I like to look at this mule that Absalom rode. Amen. I would like to call him a mule of rebellion. For you see, this mule had partnered up with Absalom in his rebellion against his father and against all that was right and all that was just. Amen. They didn't have hot rods. They didn't have Corvettes. They didn't have Lamborghinis. All they had was fast horses. You hear me? Hey, man, and fast mules and strong animals. That was the pride of their day. And no doubt Absalom, being the king's son with unlimited resources, I believe he had what he thought was the baddest, hey, man, fastest, highest jumping mule that you could get with money in that day. Amen. You know that the kings and their children, they rode the very best. Amen. You know, I don't know if you know it or not, but a mule has amazing ability to jump. There's mules that can flat-footed jump 8 and 9 foot rails. Flat-footed without a running start. I believe that Absalom thought, as he got into trouble, he said, this is no problem. I've got a mule that can outrun any mule in this country. I've got a mule that can jump over anything that comes in my path. And only begin to run for his life. I don't think he was thinking about quitting. He wasn't thinking, he was going to say, I'm going to get somewhere and I'm going to regroup. This thing ain't over yet. But he had a little something called long hair. And you see, Absalom loved his long hair. And the Bible said that once a year they would cut it off and they would weigh it. That's how thick and how long it was. He would pull it once a year. They would comb it and they would weigh it. And he had that pride in that long hair. But as he rode under this great oak tree, the Bible said his hair wrapped around one of them branches. And that mule that was under him went away. The mule that was under him went away and left him hanging from that oak tree. I don't know how it didn't snap his neck. My theory is that probably his feet were still barely touching the ground, enough to take the pressure off. I don't know. For we know that someone saw it and went and told Joab. And Joab went there, and the Bible said he was still alive in the tree. And Joab slew him. I want to tell you, friend, if that mule would have just stopped, if that mule would have just come back, if that mule would have just let him got his feet under him and got his hair, he could have kept going. But the mule left him a swinging in that tree. The very thing that he thought was going to help him get out of his trouble. Left him in a heap of trouble that cost him his life. And I want to tell you, the devil's got a fast mule called sin. The devil's got a fast mule called sin. And there's a lot of young people are riding it today. It's a mule of rebellion. A mule of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's a mule, great God, of immorality and fornication. It's a mule of live life as fast and hard as you can. And don't worry about a thing. I want to tell you something about that mule tonight. It is not trustworthy. It's not trustworthy. It will leave you hanging. It'll leave you in a desperate place. It'll leave you broken and scarred by sin. Amen. Well, I feel the preacher tonight. I'm not a preacher, but I feel the preacher tonight. Oh, Brother Mike. I'm not here to take up for Absalom. I'm not here to look at Absalom and tell you that Absalom was in the right and I wish his mule to stay. I'm just here to draw a principle out of a story tonight. That the mule that he had counted on, to keep him from trouble. When the times got hard, the mule left him swinging from the boughs of a great oak tree. I feel like preaching to young ladies here tonight. There's some fast-talking boy out there somewhere, and he'll tell you how beautiful you are. He'll tell you how much he loves you. He'll tell you how much he'd like to just take care of you and sweet talking by you roses. But I want to tell you about that fast mule. He's told that to 100 other girls until he got what he wanted. Come on now. That boy, he don't know nothing about love. He don't know nothing about dedication. He doesn't know nothing about commitment. And when it comes down to faithfulness, the mule will run away and leave a mama holding a baby by herself. Leave a little teenager baby, with a baby to take care of, while he goes off and tells some other young lady how beautiful they are. Don't tell me it don't happen. It's a happening every day. It's a happening right now. The fast mule. The fast mule. Great God of rebellion. Is a ruining lies day by day. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear me tonight. You hear me? I got to preach a while. Amen. This world, amen, is full of fast mules. You hear me? The fast mule of drugs. Amen. Just try. Start out with a little marijuana. Just a little marijuana to give you a little buzz. Come on, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Amen. And some of you got on that mule of marijuana, huh? But you find out after a while it wasn't fast enough for you, huh? So you traded in for the mule of a little crack cocaine, maybe, huh? Amen. And then they traded. That ain't enough speed, huh? It just gets slower and slower, huh? And so they'll trade it in for a straight shot of heroin in the veins, huh? Amen. And now many people in America are riding the drug methamphetamine, huh? Are y'all going to help me tonight, huh? Amen. But your teeth is rotted out of your head, and there's scabs all over your body, and you've lost your job, and you've lost your marriage, and you've lost your home, and there's nothing. I tell you what you'll find. You'll find that that's a mule that's not trustworthy. You'll find that's a mule. Amen. Oh, it's fast. Oh, it's handsome. Oh, my God. Nothing can jump like that mule. Amen. But my God, when the chips are down, and when it's all said and done, and when you need it to worse, it will not be there for you. I said, when you need it to worse, it will not be there for you. Woo, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. That mule of pornography. How? Oh, what a fast mule. Oh, could we say, what a beautiful mule. Come on here now. Oh, my brother Marquis, you just don't know what it does for me. Amen. But after a while, it takes more and more perversion. I said it takes more and more perversion to satisfy that lust in your soul. It takes more and more looking. Come on here now. Until a man becomes a child molester or a man becomes a... Oh, come on here now. Oh, what is it, Brother Brent? And he's sitting there holding a magazine of crying, saying, I wish I'd never seen the first picture. I wish I'd have known, great God. Amen. I believe it was Jeffrey Dahmer who told Dr. Dobson in prison but on death row. It started with the JCPenney's catalog. Looking at the women. Amen. In their underwear section. Oh, come on now. Until it led to an obsession that made a serial killer out of him. Oh, great God. I wish I could preach tonight. I mean about this mule of rebellion. Oh, my God. It will leave you every time. Amen. Several years ago, there was a young lady who was dating a boy that her parents did not approve of, Brother Bobby. Pray that God help me tonight. Amen. She cried and she said, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. They said, listen, that boy's not trustworthy. That boy's got bad intentions for you. Are you girls listening to me tonight? Oh, no, Mama, you just ain't giving him the chance. You just don't see him like I see him. He's a football player. Oh, he's strong and he's big. And he told me he loved me. And she talked and she talked and she moused around till finally, hey man, her parents said, don't you go see that boy ever again. And one night she climbed out the window and she got in the car with that boy. This is a true story. And they took off down the highway at a high rate of speed. Amen. They went to a party and they partied half the night, and somewhere up in the night they got back in that car and he wasn't in no shape to drive, brother. Somewhere in the middle of the night, a horrific crash took place. And a little girl laid in an emergency room in a hospital bed, and she cried and she cried. Somebody find my mama. Somebody find my mama and tell mama I'm sorry. My mama thinks I'm home in bed. Amen. Please, somebody, would you get my daddy and tell my daddy I love him. Amen. My daddy thinks I'm home in bed. I wish just somebody would please tell my mama. Hey, where's my mama? How come nobody will get my mama? I just want to tell her I'm sorry. Finally, a nurse couldn't take it no more. She went over and she said, young lady, I can't take that anymore. She said, why? I just want to see my mama. She said, young lady, you killed your mom and daddy tonight, for they had found you out of your bed and was out on the streets looking for you. And the head-on collision that took place tonight was your mom and daddy in the other car. And the mule that was under her went away. Where's that boy at now? Where's the fast ride at now? As a little girl lays in the bed, as she spends the rest of her life with a conscience that says, you killed your mom and daddy. I said the mule that was under her went away. Boy, y'all are looking at me tonight. I feel like there's some young people here tonight. You got your eyes on a fast mule. But I feel like there's somebody here tonight that's a swinging from a tree. Brother Brent, that's me. My mule's gone. My home's broke up. My children's lost. Whatever. I come on here now. My hopes and dreams are shattered in the ground. Come on. I'm preaching to a mixed multitude of people tonight. A mule of rebellion. Amen. I got to preach a little bit to people that go to this church and claim to be saved. But you're doing things you know ain't right. I said, you're doing things you know ain't right. Amen. The preacher's preached to you and you said, I ain't going to do it. I don't care who said it. You've gone so far as to say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to dress like I want to dress. And I'm going to live like I want to live. But I want to tell you that mule of rebellion will leave you hanging. I said that mule of rebellion will leave you hanging. Amen. It ain't all just sinners. It ain't all just young people. But there's some moms and some dads here tonight that need to get out down off of that mule of rebellion that you've been riding, saying I'm going to do things my own way, because I'm going to tell you, you got somebody riding with you. Johnny's on that mule with you. Susie's on that mule with you. And it's time you said, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. Just get me down off of this mule. I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to regret God. The mule that was under him went away. Let me preach for a few minutes quickly. About 35 years ago. Amen. All my dad's brothers and sisters, and brother and two sisters and mom and dad had left the Holiness Church. They ran off to do a few things that they wanted to do. Amen. Dad stayed in the Holiness Church. He had one, all of his family's in disaster. Amen. After 35 years of marriage, my grandparents split up and separated. Were separated till they died. Just a long, sad story, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but I want to tell you about one sister that he had. Amen. About a year after she left the Holiness Church, her and her husband, who was a Holiness preacher, got a divorce. That has probably been in very few Pentecostal services. Amen. That grandparent that I told you about last night, my grandma, great-grandma, is also her great-grandma. Huh? Amen. My mamma, they got out of church. That was her mama. Amen. And now all this chain of destruction and sin, just, but this one particular aunt, her husband left her. Several years later, she married a man 15 years older than her. Was with him for 10 years or so. Found out he'd been cheating about all along. He left out. Amen. It's a life of loneliness and brokenness and sin. But she just kept right on a clicking. She went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wasn't nobody going to tell her she wasn't saved. Amen. Didn't matter what, how much sorrow come her way. She wasn't going to admit, I made a mistake. Amen. Oh, she got up about in her 58 or so. And they diagnosed her with cancer. She beat it down once. It come back again. She beat it down a second time. When it come back that third time about 2 years ago, they said you better get to packing your bags and making your preparations, because you're going out of here. There is nothing more we can do. Amen. And about a month before she died, she called my dad. All these years she'd been going to church. All these years she'd been saying my new lifestyle is just fine. I don't need that old time way. Amen. But as she laid there in that bed, she called my dad and she said, Paul, I had a dream last night. She said, I dreamed I was getting ready to take a trip, but my suitcases weren't packed, and my clothes weren't ready. Amen. She said, Paul, I kept saying in this dream, I've got a trip to make, and I'm not ready. I've got a trip to make, and I'm not ready. I'm not worried about whether the life you're good is good enough to live by. I want to know, is the life you're living good enough to die by? Amen. When you come down to death's door, where's that mule going to be? I tell you what it was. She was 1 month away from death. Amen. And the mule that was under her, amen, it went away. There was nobody to comfort her. There was nobody to tell her it was going to be all right. And she had a dream. I'm about to take a trip, and I ain't got my bags packed. I'm not ready. Oh, come on here now. Some of you been riding that mule of rebellion for years. You'll sit there and bristle up at me tonight. I ain't going to do it, Brother Brent. I ain't living what that pastor preaches. I know I'm saved. Ain't nobody telling me I ain't saved. You've lost your kids. You've lost your family. You've lost everything. Some of you have lost your marriages. What else you going to lose before you finally admit, I got to get down off this mule. I got to get back to the old time way. Come on here now. What else you going to lose before you finally admit, I wish I'd have never got on this mule? Oh, y'all ain't helping me tonight, but I'm going to preach on. Got to help. But I want to take you over to this other mule over here in Numbers. Amen. I like to number. I like to. And it says you say you shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to liken this mule to the man of God. Amen. For you see, Absalom was trying to go in rebellion, Brother Mike. Balaam. Amen. But there was a mule that seen an angel in the way, and he had a sword. He's getting ready to take Balaam's head off his shoulders. And the Bible said the first thing that mule done was he steered out of the way. Amen. And old Balaam began to beat him. Oh, come on, get back where I want you. What could I tell you tonight? That this man of God, Brother Snow, he's not a dictator. He's not here to abuse anybody. He's got one desire, and that's to see you make it to heaven. Amen. He's long suffering. He's got a burden. He spends hours in prayer. He spends days in fasting. What's he trying to do, Brother Marquis? He's trying to run my life. He's trying to tell me what I can and can't do. No, he's trying to steer you away from a place called hell. I said he's trying to steer you away from a place called hell. He sees things that you do not see. He looks farther down the road. He sees a death angel. He sees a destruction. He sees, my God, the enemy is ahead. Amen. And you got to make a choice. What new are you going to listen to tonight? Woo! Brother Mobley, the first thing that mule done was he tried to turn him. Come on, let's not go that way. When the preacher gets in the pulpit, Brother Bobby, you know what he's trying to do? Come on, let's go this way. But Balaam said, I want to go that way. But that way's not no good, Balaam. There's death down that way. We need to go this way. Has a preacher ever steered you, brother? Has he ever preached something that you said, well, that wasn't the way I was planning on going? But you listened to the preacher, right? Have you ever listened to the preacher when you didn't even really see what he was talking about, but you just went ahead? But down the road, you look back and you said, wow. Hey, amen. Have you ever, brother? Has a preacher ever had to, now listen, we can't go that way, Brother Brandon. And maybe you said, why? I don't understand all that. But you just went ahead. All right, preacher, let's go. It's just what we got to do. But you look back and you said, my God, I didn't see that now. I didn't see. Come on, y'all going to help me tonight. Amen, Brother Mike. You just knew in this thing. I'm going to tell you something. Amen, that man right over here, my God, if he ain't proved to you that he loves you, ain't nobody can prove it to you. Amen, he's trying to steer you right. Amen, just follow along with him. You hear me tonight? Just say, yeah, preacher, you go ahead. You ain't got to give me every little scripture and every little verse. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. You ain't got to break it down. I'm not saying that we don't have to have the Bible. Amen, but you need to get such a heart in you that you love this man of God. God, and his wife, and realize they've got only good intentions for you, and quit your rebellion, and quit riding that fast mule, and say, my God, preacher, if I don't see it, that's okay. I got enough confidence in you, man of God. You've been fasting and praying. I'm going to go where you say go. I'm going to turn when you say turn. If you see danger in my path, if you see something that's going to rob my victory, let my God let me turn when you say turn. Amen.
Brother Mike could say, I'll tell you one thing. I'm 60 years old, 55. I ain't listening to that kid. I know Brother Mike don't do that. And Brother Mike say, Brother Sam, you just turn, I'll turn with you. I know he's your brother. You say you're backing the preacher up. You're exactly right. I'm backing this pastor up tonight. Huh? If I didn't believe in I could back a pastor, I ain't going to preach there. I don't preach for pastors. I can't back up. Are y'all backing up on me now, aren't you? I don't care if he is your brother, Brother David. I don't care if he is your brother-in-law, Tiff. Hey, amen. When that man says turn, it's time to start turning. If he says no and everything in you says yes, it's time to say, preacher, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me. Y'all just sit there and look at me. He's the man that's been laying on his face, tears dripping off onto the carpet. He's a man saying, God, I'm trying to help these people make it to heaven. I hate to tell this tonight, but I'm going to tell this anyway. We had a young couple, and you've heard it. Some of you have heard it. I tell this for no glory. I tell this to let you know I mean what I'm preaching tonight. I was preaching at the home church in Revival. And I've told this here. Some of you have heard it. But one night as I walked down the aisle preaching, there was a lady sitting there about where this sister's sitting right here. I'd spent the whole Revival trying to turn her. Hey, man, let me preach a little bit more, and I'll finish that story up. The second thing that happened... Amen. When Balaam smote him back into the way, the second thing that happened was that mule. Amen. The Bible said the angel moved. And he got a place, Brother John, where there's a wall on this side and a wall on this side. All right, Balaam, now what you going to do? Balaam still don't see the angel. Balaam still don't realize there's a sword right there ready to cut his head off. Balaam still saying, you go that way. When the mule got there, he sees that angel. The Bible said, amen, that he slammed himself into the wall, and I believe he tried to make a mad dash around that angel. And when he went into that wall, the Bible said he crushed Balaam's foot. Well, you know what that did, don't you? That made him real mad. He brought the pain to him. He started by gently let's just not go that way, Balaam. Let's just go this way. And any man of God will first gently try to steer you the right way. There comes a time I've been in the pulpit, and after I've preached it gently and everybody slept through it, nobody seemed to hear that I had to take them into the wall. Until they said, ouch, preacher, that hurts. Now you're talking to me. Yeah, I've been talking to you the whole time. You've just been sitting there sleeping, but now you know because your foot's went in the wall. You know I'm talking to you. And this lady had children that she brought to youth camp that I preached 4 years in a row. I'd won those kids to God 2 or 3 years. Every year they'd come back a little worse. They'd pray through, get prayed through, and they'd beg Mama, please take us out of that old dead church. Please take us out of that worldly church. Please get us out of there. Please take us to Brother Paul's where we can feel the presence of God. Amen. You know why she didn't go, Brother R.C.? Because she didn't want to quit her sinning. She didn't want to give up her stuff. The kids said, I'll do whatever it takes. Amen. But Mama didn't want to quit her snipping and flipping. Mama didn't want to change her wardrobe. Mama didn't want to move them. Come on here now. Daddy didn't want to quit watching his filth. Amen. And so they said, no, we're not going. And so now these kids are full of rebellion. And I'm in Revival at the home church, and here they ground them all up. Let's go take them, Brother Brent, and see if he can pray them through. And I don't mean that facetiously, but that's exactly what they done. They had no intentions of doing any better themselves. They just didn't want their kids being in the mess they were in, just like some of you. Well, let's take them, see what Brother Brick can do for them. And I began to work, and I began to plead, and I began to pull, and one by one, they began to get in the altar. But I kept telling them, trying to preach to that mama, if I don't get you steered right, well, I'm wasting my time. And she'd just sit there, and she'd clap her hands, amen, brother, preach it. And one night, not in myself, I promised you, and you're going to find out, hey, man, the Holy Ghost said, take her into the wall. And I walked straight down the aisle, and I stuck my finger right in her face. I made sure she knew I wasn't talking to the one beside her. But I said, you. I said, if you don't get out of that worldly church, and I pointed at her husband, I said, if you don't leave that church and get these kids where they can know God, and I pointed down at the end of the pew where Zeb sat, now, I said, you're going to visit that boy in the prison cell in just a few months. Oh, she got mad. Smoke rolled out her ears. And then the last thing that happened, she come to me after church, Brother Bob, and she got right nose to nose with me. I'll have you know I'm saved. I'll have you know I'm filled with the Spirit. And I stood eyeball to eyeball with her, and I said, I'll have you know you ain't. I said, I'll have you know you doing things that you said was sin 10 years ago.
You're doing things that you would have never done 10 or 15 years ago. I know how you used to live. I know the standards you held in your life. And I done what Balaam's mule done. When the angel moved back just a little farther and there was no place on the right or the left, the Bible said he laid down in the road. He said, Balaam, this is as far as I go. You go on. You're going without me. He beat him, Sam. He cussed that mule. He said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. And the mule started talking. And in his fit of rage, he started holding a conversation with a mule. He was so far gone in his intent that I'm going to do what I'm going to do, that a mule talking did not snap him to himself and say, my God, the mule is talking to you. He just went on and held a conversation. And we are living in a day and hour. It doesn't matter tongues and interpretation. It doesn't matter lightning from heaven. It doesn't matter 25 scriptures. Amen. Men are hell bent on riding that fast mule and going where they want to go and do what they want to do. Amen. But I want to tell you about this mule right here. The buck stops right here. I ain't going with you. You can go early if you want, but I can't go. You can press on it. Rebellion, but I can't go. You can move in what you want, but I can't go. I've got to stop right here. I know what lies up ahead. And she stood toe to toe with me. He said, I just want you to know that I am saved. And I said, I don't know how to say it right. I knew I'd done what God told me. But I couldn't apologize, Brother Brandon. I couldn't say, I'm sorry I embarrassed you in front of everybody. I couldn't say, yeah, I know you're saved. I shouldn't have said that. I had to start, sorry, sis. You heard the word of God. I see the death angel down the road. I told you the boy's going to be in prison in a few months. Now, you want to go on? You can go on. But I'm not going with you. I meant what I said. And she stomped out the door. All of their lives, Brother Bobby, they tried to have children, never could have them. And in the last 4 or 5 years, they had adopted those 5 children. And for the first time in their lives, they had a home. 3 months later, he took that little 7-year-old girl in the bathroom of their home. And I won't go any farther. Last I knew, he's still in prison. This mule don't go down that path. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, let me preach just a few more minutes, and I'm not going to out preach my anointing tonight. I never knew this. I knew what happened. I knew what God told me that night. But about 6 months ago, and this has been 3 or 4 years ago, there's a lady in our church that that boy writes letters to every now and then, pray for me. His life is scarred forever, Brandon. I believe he'd have prayed through in that revival that night if Mama would have prayed through. He was crying. He was ready. But right after that happened, about 6 months later, that's been 3 or 4 years ago. About 6 months ago, my cousin Ryan, who's been in his church once, come up here and visited Beth and Sam. He was in Chick-fil-A, and he ran into one of them girls that lived in that. And by the way, the social services come and took all of their kids. And now they're back to just the two of them, back to an empty house. They never give any of them back. They've lived alone ever since. But that young girl told Ryan, not the little girl that we was talking about, just one of the teenagers I was pulling for so hard that night. Hey, man, she told Ryan, she said, you know what? She said, my sister come running in when we found out it happened and the law arrived and began to haul everybody away and take all the kids and mamas and everybody's just screaming. She said, that little girl kept saying this over and over. Oh, God, I don't even like to tell it. You know what she said, Sam?
You said, Brother Brent told us this was going to happen. Brother Brent told us this was going to happen. Brother Brent told us this was going to happen. Brother Brent told us this was going to happen. Amen. And I'm telling you, I got it. Some of you don't get off that fast mill. You're going to lose your children. You're going to lose your grandchildren. I wish I could preach tonight. If some of you don't start listening to this man of God, grant God to get the bitterness out of your heart. If some of you don't start listening and get the hatred out of your heart over things that happened in the past, you're going to find yourself alone. You're going to find yourself empty. You're going to find yourself broken. And all you're going to be able to say is, Brother Sam told me about this. Brother Sam preached to me about this. Brother Sam warned me about this. But I refuse to listen. Amen. There was a certain rich man, and he wound up in hell. You know what he said in hell? He said, send somebody to preach to my brothers. You know what God told him? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Oh, you know what he said? Oh, they won't listen to the prophets. But if one rose from the dead, they'd listen. He said, they wouldn't be persuaded if one rose from the dead. Oh, Brother Brandon, I'm so glad you got off that fast mule. It done left you hanging, hadn't it? You're swinging out there, kicking your feet, saying, my God, I'm going to lose everything I got. But there come along a preacher. Woo! He said, come on, follow me. Hey, man, sometimes he tears us, steers us ways we don't want to go. Sometimes he tells us things we don't want to hear. But thank God for the preacher. Hey, man, he'll pull you down out of the boughs of that oak when that fast mule leaves you hanging and say, come on with me. Hey, man, oh, hallelujah. Woo! I know a better way. I know a way around that death angel. I know a way of life eternal. Hey, man, but you see, the Bible said straight is a gate and narrow is a way that leadeth to life eternal. It's a straight way. Hey, man, straight. It's a close way. Oh, great God in Zion. I said it's a close way. And few there be which go in thereat. Seems to me, Brother Marquis, you people are so narrow-minded. That's exactly right. And that's exactly how you're going to have to be if you're going to make it to God's good heaven.